Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're talking about some news on the federal U.S. EV tax credit. There's been a new introduction there in the Senate. Then we've got some news out of China and Berlin. First, a quick scheduling update. As I mentioned at the end of yesterday's episode, I will be traveling this week, so I'm planning on probably doing a live stream tomorrow and probably without much equipment, so it might just be me talking to you guys face to face, and then I'll have to be off on Friday. All right, first up here, let's talk about what's going on with this EV credit. So we know that yesterday the Senate had passed the infrastructure bill that includes funding for charging stations. That'll go over to the House of Representatives, but in the meantime, the Senate has been working on the $3.5 trillion budget plan, which the Democrats hope to pass alongside the infrastructure bill. So what the Senate has done today is passed a budget resolution by a vote of 50-49, and this will also then move over to the House of Representatives. The House is currently on recess, but will be returning on August 23rd, earlier than previously scheduled, to work on this budget resolution. The best way to understand what the budget resolution is to think of it as a blueprint or a framework. This is not a bill. It's not something that eventually gets signed into law, but it does outline the high-level goals for the budget in terms of spending, revenues, deficits, and allocation of the budget. It then also serves as a prerequisite for the reconciliation process, which we've talked about a little bit in the past. We don't need to go through all the details of that, but basically it's what the Democrats hope to be able to use to eventually get this budget through Congress. So this is one step along the way, many steps remaining. There will be a lull here for a couple weeks, and we'll probably start to hear more when the House is back in session. So I mentioned that there was news on the EV tax credit. That news is from this budget resolution, which, remember, is just outlining the high-level framework, so nothing here is getting signed into law. This is really just to set the agenda, and there will be ongoing debate about what finally ends up in the budget reconciliation process. Hopefully that provides enough context to set the stage here. So Bloomberg reporting via Auto News here, quote, "The U.S. Senate voted 51-48 for a non-binding amendment to President Joe Biden's $3.5 trillion budget resolution, aimed at limiting who can get a tax break for buying an electric car or truck and which vehicles qualify, potentially shaping the coming debate as Democrats prepare to expand the tax credit," end quote. So this amendment alongside the budget resolution was proposed by Republican Senator Deb Fischer of Nebraska, and the changes that she is proposing are a $100,000 income limit to be eligible for any EV tax credit and a cap on an EV tax credit for vehicles that cost more than $40,000. So as I mentioned, the Senate voted in favor of this amendment, 51-48. But remember a couple things. This is part of the budget resolution, and they also specified that this is a non-binding amendment, which essentially means that it doesn't carry any legal weight. So, okay, if it's not carrying any legal weight, what's the point of doing it? Well, a few reasons. Really, the primary intent is to get a sense of level of approval or disapproval of a certain change, and that can help shape the policy moving forward. And as with everything in politics, there can be political motivations. So this EV tax credit was one of many amendments that was pushed forward sort of in the final hours here. Many places refer to it as a votorama. New York Times here describes the process by saying, quote, "The proposed changes, many of which were shot down along party lines, were non-binding and intended more to burnish a political case against the most vulnerable Democratic senators facing re-election in 2022 than to become law. Some Republicans said the brunt of their proposals would wait until the subsequent legislation was finished when changes could actually be adopted," end quote. So the long and short of it is that this doesn't necessarily mean anything at this point in time, but the in-favor vote shows that there might be support for some sort of limits like this in a final version. The last update that we had heard on a proposed change to the EV tax credit was introduced by Debbie Stabenow. That was back in May. We discussed that extensively, but that did have an $80,000 cap in terms of vehicle price. And if I remember correctly, no income limit. And that was also when we had first heard about the potential layering up to $12,500 max EV tax credit through US-made vehicles and then union-made vehicles. So as the resolution moves forward with this amendment passing, I'm not sure exactly how the language looks as it goes into the House. I don't know if this would be replacing that language or if somehow they both sit in there separately. And I'm not sure that that really matters a whole lot at this point, but if there is support for this, and if that $40,000 cap gets implemented, I would be really disappointed with that type of a structure. Let's say that that does go on the $12,500 credit. Then you've got these electric vehicles under $40,000, max $12,500 credit. So that drops the price down to potentially $27,500. Obviously, that'd be a great deal for those vehicles that are under $40,000. But the problem there is it makes it so much more difficult to sell vehicles that are anywhere above $40,000, because then you have this huge, huge gap where if a customer wants a little bit more expensive of a vehicle, probably a more capable electric vehicle, they've got to spend way, way more. So in Tesla's case, obviously the Standard Range Plus Model 3 starts just under $40,000. The Long Range is at $50,000. So if this new structure were to take place, the Standard Range Plus would only cost $30,000 versus the Long Range, still at $50,000. So not quite twice as much, but getting pretty close. And the discrepancy would be larger for any automaker that's unionized. So while obviously Tesla could sell all they could make of the Standard Range Plus, it's going to make it super hard for them to sell any of their higher margin vehicles. The entire path to success for Tesla and for electric vehicles has been selling those more expensive high margin vehicles, using the profits from that to be able to grow production, which then eventually unlocks lower prices. That's literally Tesla's master plan from back in 2006. If you put a cap at $40,000, what you're doing is basically kneecapping that entire strategy, specifically making it a lot harder for electric vehicle makers to sell those more expensive vehicles that they could actually sell profitably, and forcing them right away into this lower price band, which in many cases they just won't be able to do profitably. Look at vehicles like Rivian, look at vehicles like the Ford F-150 Lightning, the Mustang Mach-E. A credit cap like this would essentially make those vehicles non-starters. Tesla would be okay. They can sell the Model 3 for $40,000. They could sell the Model Y for $40,000. And the single motor Cybertruck, Tesla lists that at starting at $40,000. And hopefully within the next couple of years, we've got a cheaper compact from Tesla as well. But if Tesla can get those under $40,000 and no other automakers can realistically do that, then how are they going to have any hope of selling these EVs? You're not going to buy a Ford F-150 Lightning for $50,000 when you could get a Cybertruck for $30,000. Yes, the F-150 Lightning does start under $40,000, but that's just for the commercial fleet version. I don't think Ford is intending to sell those to individual customers, but it's been a while since I looked at that. Regardless, I just think it puts every automaker in a really tricky position in terms of their electric vehicle lineups, and that $40,000 cap is incredibly hard to justify when that's lower than the average new selling price of a vehicle in the United States. That's at about $41,000. A full-size pickup, average price there is $56,000. If the point of the EV tax credit is to help electric vehicles become more price competitive with internal combustion engine vehicles, and the credit is $12,500 to presumably cover that difference, should the cap not at least be $12,500 above where the average internal combustion engine vehicle price is? I certainly would think so, and if not, then what's the point of having such a large credit? So I really hope that $40,000 cap doesn't happen. Hopefully they can at least meet in the middle of the $40,000 and the $80,000 numbers we have seen, get that up to $60,000. That actually gives automakers some room to work across the entirety of a vehicle lineup. And beyond that, you're starting to get really into that luxury vehicle range. So I think that would be much more reasonable. But even at $60,000, if you put a hard cap on that, it still makes pricing decisions really tricky for automakers, because anything above $60,000 then represents such a huge price jump because it doesn't include the credit. So there should definitely just be a phase out, which, hey, start that at $40,000 if you want. And I can't understand why automakers aren't pushing super hard for that, because it just makes things a lot easier for them. The last point I'll make about that $40,000 cap is that it incentivizes a lot of cheap electric vehicles getting pushed into the market. And those vehicles may just be poorer quality or less capable vehicles, obviously less range. And under those circumstances, you're increasing the likelihood of consumers having a poor experience with electric vehicles and not wanting to further adopt them. So long rant there, but I just really, really disagree with that structure. I hope it is not implemented in that way. And it's not about Tesla. It's about just electric vehicle adoption in the United States in general. Tesla would be fine. I certainly don't think it's ideal for Tesla, and it does throw a wrench into their lineup. But I think Tesla would essentially have pretty much unlimited demand below that $40,000 price. And then Tesla obviously has greater capability of capturing more margin after sale through software than others do, so I think that would support the margin really well, especially if customers have that extra money from the EV tax credit. Which, by the way, even though they do propose an income limit on this, the previous Stabenow proposal did have the tax credit changing to being refundable, so tax liability wouldn't matter, you'd still get the full credit. Of course, as with all of this, who knows if that will change or has changed. Because of that possibility, we probably spent too much time talking about this already, so let's move on to the couple other stories that we have. First up on Giga Berlin, turns out we've got something else to watch for August 19th. Obviously, we have AI Day that day as well, but that'll be the last day for objections from the public for Giga Berlin. Remember, this last round opened as Tesla adjusted their plans, adding the battery factory. So that new comment period ends on the 19th, and then the Brandenburg office decides if they would like to have yet another public hearing, which apparently would take place around mid-September, if so. So hopefully in the home stretch for approval there. It does look like Elon Musk is also over there at Berlin today as well, perhaps doing some final approvals of his own. Next here, a couple pieces of news from China. First, just a report here by the Global Times that I saw get a lot of coverage today, so I wanted to discuss. Title here reads, quote, Tesla sales in China expected to set new monthly record in August, insider, end quote. So the insider that they refer to is not a Tesla insider, so kind of misleading on that point, but rather the Secretary General of the China Passenger Car Association, who commented to the Global Times about Tesla's July numbers, which we talked about yesterday, saying, quote, Tesla's sales drop in the Chinese market was because it needed to ensure adequate supplies abroad where the demand was huge, and then also adding, quote, sales in China are expected to rebound sharply in August, greatly exceeding that of July, and could reach a record of 30,000 by September, end quote. So I would not classify this as a report from an insider. This is just pure speculation from somebody at the CPCA, and actually the statement doesn't even match the title here, which said expected to set a monthly record in August, and really his quote said they're expected to rebound sharply in August and could reach a record of 30,000 by September. So kind of 0 for 3 on that headline. Last story here, we had previously talked about a rumor that Tesla was being supplied by BYD, their lithium iron phosphate blade batteries. I noted at the time that we weren't going to spend much time on it because we had seen false rumors about Tesla and BYD in the past, and it looks like that is again the case here. Ray for Tesla on Twitter shared out a statement of BYD denying that rumor, which I've image translated here if you do want to take a look, but the translation is pretty rough. So that is it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, August 12th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.